So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, Text 19. Divyasa tavamita kato vasa trilokya.
Divyasa tavamita kato vasa trilokya.
Padavanaya sarita samalani hantum. Anushravam shritibhir anghir jam anga sangais. Eta dvajam suci sadastar upas spritsanti. Vivaya are able. Tava
your
Amrita
nectar.
Kata of the topics.
Udavaha
the water bearing rivers. Trilokya of the three worlds. Pada Avane from the bathing of your lotus feet. Ja born. Sarita rivers. Shamalani, all contamination. Antum, to destroy. Anushvaram, consisting of the process of hearing from a bona fide authority. Shrutibhi, with the ears. Angrijam, consisting of the holy rivers. Generated from your lotus feet. Anga Sanghai, by direct physical contact. Tirtha Dvajam, these two kinds of holy places. Suchi Sadha,
those who are striving for perfection.
Te,
your
Upash Prishanti, they approach to associate with. Translation and purport. The nectar bearing rivers of discussion about you, and also the holy rivers generated from the bathing of your lotus feet, are able to destroy all contamination within the three worlds. Those who are striving for perfection associate with the holy narrations of your glories by hearing them with their ears, and they associate with the holy rivers flowing from your lotus feet by physically bathing in them. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, Anushranam Guru Ucharanam Anushrayanti. One should hear about Krishna by hearing from the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master describes the pastimes, potencies, and incarnations of the personality of Godhead to his disciple. If the spiritual master is bona fide, and if the disciple is sincere and obedient, then the communication between guru and disciple is just like nectar, both for the guru and the disciple. Ordinary persons cannot even imagine the special pleasure experienced by the devotees of the Lord. Such nectarian speaking and hearing destroys all contamination within the heart of a conditioned soul. The primary contamination being the desire to live without serving Krishna. To other nectar described here is Charanamrita, the nectarian waters that bathe the Lord's lotus feet. Lord Vamanadeva bathed his own lotus foot by kicking a hole in the universal covering so that the sacred river Ganges washed his toe and fell into the universe. The Jamuna River also washed Krishna's lotus feet when the Lord appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago. Krishna sported daily with his boyfriends and girlfriends in the Jamuna River, and consequently that river is also Charanamrita. One should therefore take bath in the Ganges or the Jamuna. Every morning in an ISKCON temple, the lotus feet of the deity of Krishna are bathed, and the water thus sanctified is also called Charanamrita, the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada has taught his disciples and followers to come before the deities each morning and drink 3 drops of the Charanamrita from the deity's bathing water. In all these ways, one can purify his heart and relish spiritual bliss. When one is fixed on the platform of spiritual bliss, then one does not take another birth in this material world. In this verse, the word suchi sadha is significant, in that one must engage in purified activities of Krishna consciousness. One must learn to serve the Lord from the bona fide spiritual master whose instructions one should accept without speculation. Those who are attached to the phantasmagoria of this world sometimes concoct their own whimsical concepts of God. But only from the bona fide spiritual master can we get perfect, pure knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and devotional service to Him. Such knowledge may be found in all the books of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. What a wonderful purport. And it's very pertinent that we are talking about how wonderful and how very fortunate we as devotees are. A couple of the devotees and I had the experience of seeing the unfortunate reactions of a lot of material people through the bushfires here in Australia that ravaged different parts of Victoria. And for the start of this class, I just wanted to just fill you in as to what the devotees have been doing as far as the Food for Life program is concerned. I wrote a little article that will be on the website, and there will be some photos also that we took of the preaching that we did. And so to start the class off, I just thought I'd just read a little bit, a description of what we did as far as the preaching is concerned. So it's the Hare Krishna Food for Life Bushfire Victims Prasad Meals Distribution. This week the devotees of Melbourne Temple had the opportunity of helping the community after the tragic event of the Black Saturday bushfires that took place in various parts of Victoria. Our Hare Krishna Food for Life program was able to distribute prasadam to those in need in one of the most ravaged bushfire areas, King Lake region. This area was severely devastated by horrific bushfires that left many people dead, injured, without accommodation or belonging, and so many houses were destroyed, as well as businesses, farm, livestock, etc. At the time of the horrific events, the temple devotees, as well as our congregation, were desperate to help these victims one way or another, and obviously the best way for us to help is to distribute the Lord's mercy in the form of Krishna prasadam. I don't think there was one devotee that wasn't concerned about the tragic events that were happening, and everybody was talking, how can we best help these people? And we all know, you know, they had marathons, they had telethons and so on and so forth, and we all feel, well, maybe we should just give some money, you know, somehow, or maybe we should just give some money. But as devotees, we know that if we give to a charity and we don't know how they're going to utilise that money, it could be for illicit activities like meat eating and so on and so forth. So it's very difficult. But we as devotees also know that prasadam distribution at a time like this is the very best charity that we can do. So after a meeting, it was decided that we put a plan into action and get things underway, and we solicited some of our suppliers to give produce as a donation or to allow us to have what we needed at cost price. Their generosity was truly amazing, very gratefully received, and we soon were ready to help out. Unfortunately, it wasn't as easy as we thought to get through the different relief agencies who were all extremely busy organising such a huge rescue and relief effort, and also we had not previously worked with them, nor did they know about our Food for Life program and our ability to help in an emergency circumstance such as this by providing nutritious meals to those in need. So it was very difficult. It actually took from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8:30 at night, ringing different agencies like Red Cross, Salvation Army, CES, Community Health, CFA, and one was passing us on to the other one, next one, next one. Very, very difficult to actually make the connection. Oh, who are you with? Hare Krishna Food for Life. We're able to do some meal distribution. You have to talk to this person. You have to talk to that person. So it was actually very difficult. And we were just wanting to help. We wanted to get the show on the road. Come on, we're ready to go. It was only after actually going to Whittlesea, the refugee camp, and speaking to the crisis kitchen director that we were able to start our prasadam distribution campaign in earnest. It was really funny when I met this lady. First, when I drove into Whittlesea, it's like a disaster area, you know, it's like refugee tents everywhere. And first the police were there, "Why are you here, mate?" And I said, "Well, I'm with the Hare Krishna Food for Life and we're going to help with meal distribution." "Oh yeah, come through, straight through. Park over here, and there's the head office." So I went to see this lady who was the crisis kitchen manager. And I said, "Hi, I'm Bhaktivedanta from the Hare Krishna movement. We're wanting to help. How can we help?" "Oh, I know the Hare," she said. "I know your food. Can you help this Sunday?" And we couldn't organise it that day, but what about next week? Maybe you can help. So she was really eager for us to help. Eventually, we were asked to supply meals by working alongside the Australian Army, because by this stage, it became such a critical thing that they enlisted the Army to actually do the meal distribution. So, you know, like, this is the full-on Australian Army, the whole thing with the, you know. Anyway, who by this stage were providing thousands of meals to the survivors of the bushfires as well as the rescue workers around the clock. In particular, they were looking forward to us coming and assisting them because there's such a high percentage of vegetarians in the King Lake region. And they really appreciated us helping them by supplying delicious and nutritious vegetarian meals. So the army was sort of going, "What do we feed them? You know, we'll do a salad and some steamies or something." So when they heard that the Haris were coming, they were really actually, "Oh, great." So early on Thursday morning, the devotees got to work and produced a feast of delicious rice, sabji, halva, custard, lassi and papadums to take up to the heart of the devastation. After a long and agonising drive through the fire-ravaged landscape and seeing with our own eyes the extent of the damage to land, property, etc., we arrived at the meal distribution centre, a virtual military war zone base. We had to go through these checkpoints before you could actually go to the King Lake area because there are so many looters that are actually ransacking the abandoned houses. And so the police are checking everybody that goes in and out. And so we had to get checkpoints all the way through. But then when you actually drive through this, and the devotees that were with me, Savarna was with me and Bhakta Sridhar was with me, we were just amazed at the devastation, the power of fire, what it can do. The earth was like as bald as this marble. There was just nothing left on the earth. And there were just these black sticks poking out through it. So the intensity of the fire must have been immense. And it just went over hills and, you know, like that, and valleys. And then these houses, brick houses, weatherboard houses, steel houses, they were just crumbled mess, you know. You see it on television and you sort of think, "Wow, that's pretty amazing." When you see it physically for yourself, it's like, "My God." But the thing that dawned on us as devotees, because you had to drive really slowly, because you had SES workers still chopping down trees because there are trees falling down all over the place. There's still smouldering trees and stuff, so they slowly meander your way through at 40 k's all the way. So you had time to reflect and you saw the potency of the material energy. You saw the potency of nature, of Krishna's energy, how, you know, that destroying quality. So after this drive, we got an enthusiastic welcome, was extended by the commanding officer, and we set up and started our service alongside a group of inquisitive army personnel. So we arrived there, and Adrian, Bhakta Adrian, who's, you know, the catering expert, and he was saying, "Oh no, you need your plastic gloves, and you'll need water to wash up, and you'll have to have the bain marie, and things have to be lifted off the ground, and all this kind of stuff." So we had everything, all the paraphernalia in the back of his van. And when we got there, the commanding officer said, "Ah, don't worry about that, mate. Just set up over here, you know." So he set us up. We didn't even set up the bain marie. We just got the containers, plopped them down, you know. And there was already a line of people. We were already late, you know, because it took such a long time to get there. So they were really enthusiastic, and the army people were just really inquisitive, you know. "What the hell are you doing here, you know?" So for about 3 hours, actually they knew that we were coming, and the commanding officer welcomed us. "Oh, I'm so glad you're here, you know, now we can supply vegetarian meals to these people that need it." Because apparently in King Lake there are a lot of vegetarians. So for about 3 hours we run off our feet serving about 250 to 300 people who were very appreciative of us being there. Some of the many comments we received were, "No way, the Haris are here, and they have halva and lassi. I must be in heaven." "Oh, I'm so glad you guys are here. Pure vegetarian meal, finally." So they were really looking forward to us coming. At the conclusion of the mealtime, the staff sergeant and the corporal administrating the proceedings asked us if they could distribute the prasadam that was left over for that evening dinner and the following morning's breakfast. Who would have ever thought that the Australian Armed Forces would partake in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army and give out the mercy so eagerly? It was amazing. You know, I mean, they didn't want to take prasadam. They didn't want to, one of the principles in the army is that, and we have that principle too here, if you're serving or cooking prasadam, you're the last one that takes prasad. Okay? You're the last one that takes a meal. I always feel that if I've cooked something, I don't want to take prasadam until everybody else is satisfied. So this was actually the ordinances or the arrangement that they had in the army. So these guys were all, oh, what's that, mate? I said, that's halva. You know, oh, I'm going to have me a son of that. And then the lassi, you know, they didn't know what lassi was, you know. So I said, this is a yogurt and mango and fruit juice drink. Sounds good, give us a taste of that. So, wow, that was great. And then all of a sudden about 10 of these guys from out the back who were doing the colour, somebody said this drink was pretty good, mate, you know. So, so at the end of it, they were all so enthusiastic and they all had prasadam. And then there was some left over because the cooks cooked heaps. And there was some left over. And they said, okay, that's it. Can we distribute? What are you going to do with this? You know, I said, well, we'll probably take it back and serve it at our restaurant, Crossways. He said, can we have it? We'll utilise it tonight and we'll serve out the rest, what's left. So whatever was left, we came back with nothing. Papadums, lassi, and they were wrapped. I don't know how much actually got to the public and how much was consumed by the Australian Army, but who cares? They were part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, so there we go. So driving home, Suvarna Mataji Prabhu and Bhakti Sridhar and myself reflected on the incredible events that we just witnessed. We thought it was amazing that in such a time of destruction and sadness and pain, how the community got together to support each other in this time of need and how we had the opportunity to be part of that rebuilding. Even though our effort was minimal, the potency of prasadam distribution is spiritually amazing. We did a fraction. When you see the work that these people did to help one another, I think it's recorded in all the newspapers, all the news articles and stuff, how everybody pitched in to help. It was an amazing thing, and we saw it right there. You know, everybody was just, people had worked, you know, like 3 days straight without sleeping, you know, cutting down trees, and these guys were, men and women, they were exhausted. And it's just amazing. So we're there, you know, okay, so we did some prasadam distribution. It was like a drop in the bucket, but prasadam is such a powerful force. So, you know, it was spiritually amazing. The army now has withdrawn their service and life is slowly getting back to some sort of normality in these communities, and we pray for their well-being. So what happened actually was is that when we were there, we were thinking we were going to be serving prasadam for a number of days still to come. But apparently the shopkeepers were really upset in a sense that the army and we were there. Not that they were angry or anything, but they were trying to get up on their feet again. And a lot of the volunteers, like the people we were serving, it would have been about 60% were the volunteers and rescue workers, and the other 40% were actually people that were living in the region. So they knew that that 60% had the money to buy their lunch and buy a drink and so on, and they would have had to have bought it from the shop where they, you know, in that region. So they had asked the army, please, could you now go and let us take care of it? And that is the same in Hillsville and Marysville. They've just now all abandoned, and the people have to work on their own selves. So now at Melbourne Temple, the Hare Krishna Food for Life has learned from this experience. The next time such a natural disaster occurs, we'll be ready to lend assistance much quicker and with a much quicker response. This was the first time really that we actually, you know, did something like this. And we didn't have the connections. We should have been there a week or so earlier, but next time we have a team of people that are ready to work on it. We've got the equipment now to be able to do it. So if anything ever happens, we're able to swing into action very quickly. We still seek donations for the services rendered as the temple needed to fund some infrastructure which is now ready to be utilised for further crisis response. So as I said, Prabhu Das and Stoker Krishna Prabhu and a couple of other devotees are wanting to have like a little unit of, you know, equipment and manpower ready to go if it ever happens again. So there was an outlay from the temple side of it, so we would really appreciate if anybody still could make a donation just to cover that infrastructure cost. I would like to thank all the devotees who volunteered their services and all those individuals and companies who contributed with the boga and other products, as well as those who donated funds to the Food for Life cause. So that was Mahaprasadam Ki. Om Gyan Simranda Shah Gananjana Shalakya Chakshuli Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So just to recap, this was the translation. The nectar-bearing rivers of discussion about you and also the holy rivers generated from the bathing of your lotus feet are able to destroy all contamination within the three worlds. Those who strive for purification associate with the holy narrations of your glories by hearing them with their ears, and they associate with the holy rivers flowing from your lotus feet by physically bathing in them. So as I said, we are very, very fortunate to be able to have this knowledge, because the underlying thing that happened is that, you know, and we saw it so often, when these things, these tragedies happen to a materialistic person, the first thing they ask is, why me? Why is this happening? Why did I lose my children? Why did I lose my house? Why did I lose everything that I've been striving for? So sad, you know, it's really, really sad. My daughter sent an article where there was this guy who had been working for about 30 years on a is anybody familiar with William Ricketts? A sanctuary? William Ricketts Sanctuary? It wasn't really a Ricketts Sanctuary, but it's similar. This artist had built this like incredible garden with beautiful little artifacts placed all through the garden. Very, you know, sort of mundane in one sense, but spiritual in another sense, and uplifting. And he had hundreds of works of art, and the whole lot was destroyed. So years and years of work just gone. Annihilated. And there are many, many stories of that, you know. So this fire has devastated so many people, and from a Krishna conscious point of view, we just have to reflect and just think how fortunate we are. Something like that may happen to us, but the point is we know why it's happening. But they have no idea why it's happening. And the first thing that happens is they start to doubt God. Why does God do this to us? If there is a God, how can he be so mean as to do something like this? And they turn away from God. So many people have that atheistic tendency after a disaster like this happens. So it's incumbent upon the devotees to actually somehow or other help them, and that's the message that's in this purport here. And how we actually derive that knowledge is by surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master. Well, I was reflecting about fire within the Bhagavad Gita. How many times is fire mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? Can anybody remember in Bhagavad Gita where fire is actually mentioned? There's the fire of lust. What's another area where Krishna says, I am fire?
Fire of knowledge.
Huh? Fire of knowledge, yeah. One of the five elements is fire.
Fire in the stomach.
Fire in the stomach of digestion. And fire in the sacrificial fire, Sipivista, the Krishna. Vishnu is present in the fire of the Jagya. So, as a devotee, we know what is the situation. And as it's been purported in many of these verses previous to this, we understand that actually Krishna is everything. He sees everything, he is everything, he is everywhere. And to be Krishna conscious, to be conscious of Krishna, means to be thinking of Krishna all the time. And understanding that whatever is happening in our life is somehow or other Krishna's plan for us. Now, we may have a plan, and we think, oh yeah, we're going down that road. But Krishna may have a completely other plan. Sometimes it doesn't line up, you know, that our plan coincides with what Krishna is. But when, as is pointed out here, if we depend on Krishna to guide us and to redirect us in our lives, then we'll meet with success. And the more we practice our Krishna consciousness, the more, as it says here, striving for purification, the more we actually practice our Krishna consciousness, the more sincere we are, the more dedicated we are, the more we make an effort, the more protection we will get, and the more we'll get the right direction to take the right path. There's one self-development guy who teaches all over the world. He's actually quite interesting to have, James Rohn. And he says you can either be on track or off track. So it always is that as a devotee we have to stay on track. And how do we stay on track? by always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. The one commandment that devotees have to really adhere to, never forget Krishna. See Krishna everywhere. Understand that everything is happening is by Krishna's grace. Don't be foolish, Prabhupada actually said, and don't become a blasé about this material world. You know, when we see a disaster like this, it actually wakes us up that this is not a pleasant place. This material world is not a pleasant place. And Prabhupada said also, don't be foolish to think that even as a devotee we can develop a utopian society. Don't be foolish to think like that, because this is the material world and it's a miserable place. There are bound to be miserable things that happen. But the point of it is we have to look and develop ourselves to see beyond it and understand that we're not these material bodies, that we're actually spirit souls and connected in a loving relationship with Krishna. The last thing that people need, it was interesting, we went to this interfaith seminar, this program, and there was a Jewish man, it was a Buddhist man, and they were starting to talk about the bushfires and everything. He started to bring up this whole point of karma. That's not, and I was talking to the devotees before we went up, I said, if somebody starts to talk to you about why this has happened, because they'll want it, I said, the last thing we do at this point of time is talk about karma. Don't bring that up. Just hear what they're saying and sympathise with them and allow them to actually just develop slowly. The last thing we want to do is to say, well, you know why this has happened to you, don't you? This is karma. This is your karma. This is activity. Last thing that people want. It's so important, and Prabhupada was also so emphatic when he did his preaching, that the first thing you have to make a person understand is that they're not this material body and that Krishna resides within you and Krishna loves you. So we have to be very, very understanding. And this is a miserable place. This is a miserable place. And Prabhupada often made that statement that if you go to a hospital, right, expect to see sick people there. You don't go to a hospital and think, well, what are all these sick people doing here? It's a hospital, you know, and all of us in our own way are striving to get healed, you know. We all have our flaws, we all have our crises, we all have our deep little pockets of material attachments, and we hammer at them, we have to recognise them, and we hammer at them with the sound vibration of the holy name. We keep building and knocking away at it like they're building out here. During the week, there's this grinding all the time. So the Hare Krishna mantra, in a transcendental, beautiful way, grinds at those little dark pockets of material attachment. So we have to strive for that. But we understand that actually Krishna is Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the supreme controller of everything. And we can get over these problems. When problems come, we understand that they're actually a test for us. These things have come to us and somehow or another, and we have to accept them as Krishna's mercy. So if something comes to us, we have to accept it as Krishna's mercy. We see everything is there for us to somehow learn. Someone may bother us. God, somebody can be really annoying or forget to do something for you or something like that. You may be mistreated. You may be cheated or some conflict. Get over it. Get over it. Accept it as Krishna's mercy. Everything you see is Krishna's mercy. And after a period of time, when all these things come to you, after a period of time, you start to get it right, because it's all a learning experience. I have to learn this. So if one gets serious about this struggle, you start to become really enthused to do something about it. You become, like, say for example, if a person is, and this is the whole point of this as far as being connected to a guru gives you instruction, and we have to somehow or other follow that instruction and really strive to achieve the goals that the guru set. The guru is like a coach, and so he sets a target for you. So say, for example, if you're a sports person. When I was playing football, right, and I was in the ruck, Sangha knows about football. When I was in the ruck, I just couldn't somehow or other tap this ball out right, you know. So the coach would come up to me and say, nah, birdie boy, you're not doing it right. Here we go, we'll throw it up again. Okay, now you tap it like this. And being an awkward teenager, I'd somehow, no, that's not it. We do it again, throw the ball up, and you do it like this. Do it again. No, that's not. And over and over and over and over again until I got it. That's how you do it. Now apply it in the game of life, and that's how you do it. So the coach, these problems that present to us every time are like that. We have to learn to get it right. It's a test. It's an opportunity to advance, to give up attachments, and to strive for real happiness. You know, that's what we're actually striving for. Real happiness is pointed out here. Bathing in the nectar of Lord Krishna, you know. Blissfully engaged. You have that situation where you had Queen Kunti. It's not that we're like Queen Kunti, but, you know, she was praying, let calamities come again and again, you know, so I'll develop my happiness. She wanted it. Bring it on. Any more problems? Come on. Not that we want that. We're happy with what we got, thank you. But in her condition, in her pure consciousness, she was asking Krishna, yeah, come on, give me more, you know. So the main point is that we want to pass the test. We want to pass the test of this material world. We want to go up a grade every time. So when a problem hits us, we have to go up a grade. We don't want to flunk the test. We want to keep on striving. And it's all about understanding that Krishna is everything and Krishna has a plan for us. My spiritual master, Hridaya Nanda Maharaj, has a saying that the personality, instead of calling it the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Personality of Personal Trainers. Krishna is the Supreme Personal Trainer. He puts us through our paces. We may get praise or we may get criticism, we may get fame or infamy, we may get loss or gain, we may be understanding we're not this body and we are this body. There are all the things, all the teachings of Bhagavad Gita are there. And somehow or other, we have to practice them. If we don't practice them, how will we overcome this material situation? So we have to practice this constant. If somebody throws criticism at us, how do we handle that in a Krishna conscious way? If somebody throws adulation to us, how do we handle that in a Krishna conscious way? How do we handle understanding we're not this material body? When an illness comes, we understand we're not this material body. So these are the practical lessons with Bhagavad Gita, within Bhagavad Gita. Now, the point is, we understand that everything is Krishna's plan. We understand that everything is by Krishna's direction and Krishna is everything. How do we convey that to people who have just had an event like what we have experienced, this bushfire? How do we do that? We don't do it immediately by telling this is the case, like I was saying about karma. How do we do that? Firstly, we have to befriend them. This is the key instruction that Krishna gives, that we have to befriend all the living entities. We have to be their best friend. Just as Prabhupada, bottom of every letter, your ever well-wisher. He's a friend to everyone. And so the same, our duty is that we have to learn to befriend. We have to be a devotee with genuine interest in other people. You know? Like when we were at the actual bushfire scene, there was just a camaraderie between us all helping, you know. And we made so many friends there, you know, these army guys, all of a sudden, they liked us. And we liked them. And we had an interest in them. And we showed an interest in them. So after a period of time when you've actually shown genuine interest in an individual, and they sense it, that it's not just a sales pitch, you know, not that we just do it out of, I'll talk to them about their business or something and their children for a period of time and then I can let them have it. No, we genuinely, Prabhupada did this all the time. He would find out about them and had a genuine interest in them. What happens is they understand subconsciously that this person is actually concerned about me. He's not trying to sell anything, he's not trying to push anything, he just wants to know about me and he wants to like me. What happens is they become interested in you. And they, when they become interested in you, you start to then, you are then able to give them information to the extent that they can take it. And that's preaching. So it's not in a sense, again, Hridaya Nanda Maharaj says, you can't see yourself as a spirit soul without seeing everyone else as spirit soul. So if we want self-realization, if we want Krishna consciousness, We have to understand that we have to also give it to people. You have to get it. When you get it, you universally get it. So this getting is described in the purport right here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad Thakur states, one should hear about Krishna by hearing from the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master describes the pastimes, potencies and incarnations of the personality of Godhead to his disciple. If the spiritual master is a bona fide and if the disciple is sincere and obedient, then the communication between the guru and disciple is just like nectar, both for the guru and the disciple. And it is. Who's sat in front of their spiritual master and there's a discourse of Krishna consciousness going on? Who wants to be anywhere else? I've had it so many times where I've sat and listened to either a Siksha guru or a Diksha guru, and you just don't care whatever happens out there. You just want to stay focused and hang on every word that that personality is speaking, isn't it? It's just nectar coming into your ears, because all of a sudden there's revelations coming into your mind. So ordinary persons cannot even imagine the special pleasure experienced by the devotees of the Lord. Such nectarian speaking and hearing destroys all contaminations within the heart. And so the primary contamination being the desire to live without Krishna. I want to do this by myself. No, we want to be with Krishna. Now, I was discussing with one of the devotees about Diksha and Shiksha gurus. If we take on this understanding that the spiritual master is like a coach or a personal trainer, you know, when you have a team, you have the principal coach and he's your guru. But then you also have sub-coaches. You have, you know, there's a coach that teaches you how to kick goals. There's a coach that teaches you how to run properly. There's another coach who's a physiotherapist and so on and so forth. There are so many coaches. So in Krishna consciousness also, we're so fortunate nowadays that we have our own Diksha guru, but we also have so many Shiksha gurus that we can actually extract knowledge and association and strength from as well. So this is very, very important. How do we serve Krishna? Now this train track analogy, you remember where I said you're on track or off track? The train track analogy is actually very pertinent, because Krishna consciousness is like a two-track path. One track is to develop our own Krishna consciousness, following a strict sadhana, being very regulated, chanting Hare Krishna properly, coming and worshipping the deities, doing all the protocols, saying suci, so on and so forth. That's the one track. The other track is teaching others. The two have to go side by side. If we're just following the one and neglecting the teaching, at best we're Kanishta Adhikari. Very, 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 very low-level preaching. But we are a preaching movement. Krishna consciousness is a preaching movement. When we say movement, that means we're on the move. We want to move. How do we move? We move by getting more people. More people. More friends. We want to bring more friends to Krishna consciousness. So this Krishna consciousness is a two-track way of self-realization. We have to do it that way. And we have to develop both very, very seriously. And we really have to put ourselves through strenuous exercise. Like it said here, we have to strive for purification. So that striving for purification is meeting the problems that come to us. Like recently I just wanted to start becoming a little more physically fit, so I went to this gym, which is really an interesting experience. But you've got these treadmills, you know, and you can put it on like no pressure type of thing, you know, where you just sort of, yeah, this is cool. And you're just sort of walking. But then you can turn it where the incline is a little bit up and there's a little bit more traction. Baby, you know. That's Krishna consciousness. We put the traction up just a touch and just strive a little bit harder. What happens is, after a period of time, you become a lot more stronger, you know? And so you're able to handle different miseries and problems that come. When a problem comes, you're straight away able to tackle it. Oh, there's Krishna giving me another opportunity to advance. Let's take it. So Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita in 9:17, Pita ham asya jagato mata datta pita maha. Krishna says, I am the universal father and mother. He is our everything, but He is our father and mother. Which means that everyone in this universe, everyone in creation, is part of our family. It's our real family. We're our close brothers and sisters because we know who Dad is and we know who Mum is, Krishna. But our poor brothers and sisters out there have no idea. So we have to actually somehow or other do the bidding of our Supreme Parent. And the bidding of our Supreme Parent is that we look after our younger brothers and sisters. Not that we have just our little group over here of Caucasians and a little group over here of Indian devotees and a little group over here of Chinese devotees and so on and so forth, and we'll work just within our own community. No. Everyone is our brother and sister. Everyone. And we have to outreach to everyone with interest and with love. The material say for example, if you had a material situation where your parents want you to look after your little brother and sister, and you say to your parents, "Nah, not interested. Couldn't care less." You know, how would your parents feel? Your parents would be, "What? You don't want to look? I'm asking you to look after your little brother and sister. Ah, not interested. Doesn't matter." You know, your parents would really lack affection for you because you're doing this to your brothers and sisters. So it is with Krishna. Krishna is saying, that person that preaches this Bhagavad Gita to all my children, to him or her, they are the most dear to me. So this is the. But then we have to become experts somehow or other in presenting this Bhagavad Gita to our innocent young brothers and sisters who are at times confronted by this material energy and knocked about, not understanding why. You know, that actually everything is a learning experience. So when we preach, it's a classic example, we have to learn how not to monologue our Krishna consciousness, but we have to dialogue our Krishna consciousness. Monologuing means like, there's a candidate. Did you know you're not this material body and blah, blah, blah? You know, you're talking, teaching, preaching to them. And the person goes, no, I don't know. We have a tendency as devotees, because we have knowledge and we're enthusiastic, we sort of, okay, let's give this guy the sauce. You know, we did that when we were younger devotees. You know. But actually, in essence, you know, we should dialogue. So you ask about a person. You want to be friends with a person. And understand that this person is very dear to Krishna, and that person, whether they're physically older than you or younger than you, it doesn't matter. You being a Krishna conscious devotee, they are your younger brother and sister. And you have to somehow or other, hey brother, you're back. You're coming in. Because they're showing an interest in Krishna consciousness, that's your opportunity to preach. If a person has no interest in Krishna consciousness, they have no desire to learn why things are happening to them, then okay, we let them be. And what do? We give them some prasadam. Wow, that halva was really nice. I'm glad you like it. Tastes like bread and butter pudding. That's it. I'm going to have some more. Yeah, you have some more. The ultimate plan is let's just feed them up, because eventually they'll start asking. Krishna from within starts to enliven them and wake them up. But if a person comes to you after having bucket loads of prasadam or bucket loads of halva or whatever, and they start to ask you, why did that happen to me? I'm an innocent person. I can't see why my house had to burn down. I've been a good person. Then you have the opportunity to preach. Then you have the opportunity to teach. But you do it in a loving way, in a very sincere way, in a very interested way, to help your brother and sister. See them as Krishna's child, and then you'll have great success. So, like I said, if you have a sincere interest in them, they will have a sincere interest in you. So I'll just read the translation again. The nectar-bearing rivers of discussion about you, and also the holy rivers generated from the bathing of your lotus feet, are able to destroy all contaminations within the three worlds. Those who are striving for purification associate with the holy narrations of your glories by hearing them with their ears, and they associate with the holy rivers flowing from your lotus feet by physically bathing in them. Any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
What is the splendid job you have done?
Huh?
The fire fighting, what is
the... Oh, God, no, it's nothing.
How many were there? How many volunteers?
With
how many people did you? Hare Krishna.
all up. There's like quite a few devotees are all involved.
Ten,
in yeah, about 10, I think, wasn't it, Stoker? All involved. And, yep. It was great. It's exciting. That's the treadmill. You know, you had the opportunity. We can all be really nice and complacent sitting back in the temple. Oh, I'm so sad about these people. Oh, I'm so sad. We're going to do, you know, what can we do? Let's go do something. Ratchet up the step walker, you know. Let's walk a little harder. It's not easy. It's great. We were absolutely finished at the end of it. But it was. But we were transcendentally enthused, you know. So, no, it's good.
One of my friends was caught in this fire. He was dead.
He died?
Yeah.
Ah. So?
He was a very good doctor.
Next lifetime he'll be a very good doctor again. And we want to get out of this. This is what it's saying here. One who is fixed on the platform of spiritual bliss does not take another birth in this material world. We want out. And we want to take as many people with us to get out of this place as soon as we can. Any other comments or questions at all? Yes, Prabhu?
In according to the Sutra, so you have your own children and you're creating at the same time.
Yeah.
How can you tell whether you've gone too far from one track? And what are the signs?
It's again this whole purport. By conversing with your guru, by conversing with your spiritual masters. You know? Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasena sevaya padekshanti taikanam gyananas tapadarshana. Take shelter of the spiritual masters. You know? Try to learn the truth from them. So it's your Diksha Guru, your principal guru, but you've got gurus all around you. Senior devotees. I mean, for the last couple of months, how much nectar can we take? You know? Kadambakana Maharaj, Devamrita Swami is coming, you know, Prahladananda Swami, you know, Jalananda Swami. It's like, wow, you know, it's just on top of another. And we may not even make it to the temple here, but because of the situation, we have this internet, you know, we download lectures and we hear one after another. It's just, and you just want to hear more and more and more and more, and everybody takes a different perspective. So you know if you're on track by asking, am I okay? Am I on track? Am I doing okay? Checks and balances. So that's what the whole relationship with guru is. That's the guru is the personal trainer, the coach. You know? Am I doing this right now? Am I tapping the ball right now? Yes. Now you've got it. Now put it into practice. Am I chanting my rounds correctly? Am I hearing properly? You know? I've got this dark little floor over here. How do I deal with that? Talk to your guru. Talk to your mentors. Talk to the expert coaches that can help you along the way. Any other comments or questions for us? Srila Prabhupada ki!